It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas all over the area, and it gets earlier and earlier every single year. Now, I confess to you, I am one of those guys, I don't like to think about Christmas until after Thanksgiving. I'm not a grump gut about it or anything like that. If you guys like to enjoy your Christmas music early, that's perfectly fine with me. But I really feel that jumping over the Thanksgiving season is a mistake for us. So I always like to spend a few weeks every year being thankful, talking about Thanksgiving, not the holiday necessarily, although that's part of it, but the process itself. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans in that first chapter where he's like really down on the idea of the degradation of society, how it's collapsing in on itself. One of the things that he says is, even though everything about God is evident, they don't believe in God, they don't think about God, nor do they give him thanks. So the failure to give thanks to God from whom all good things descend is apparently a sign of the degradation of our society. And so the only solution to that is to meditate upon what we need to be thankful for. Now, I have been a Christian ever since I was 10 years old. That was when I was immersed into Christ. Actually, I was 9. It was the year I turned 10. So that's been like 55 years ago, something. Or yeah, 55 years ago. That's a long time ago, right? Some of you have been Christians a lot longer than that, so you still think I'm a baby as a Christian. But I've been in the ministry for 45 years as well. And one of the things that always hits me is the fact that I am thankful to God for his people, and for the people in his church. You know, I was raised in the church. When I was a little bitty kid, my parents just went to kind of a local congregation, whichever one was available, big things going on with the kids. But eventually, when we moved back to where I was born, back to Kabul, Missouri, they joined up with a congregation much like this one here, that came out of the Restoration Movement. And they were very Bible-centric. And my parents got caught up in a lot of that. And so my earliest memories of being a kid was all about God. And my parents, first of all, the ones providing into me Bible stories. I remember, I don't know, some of you guys will remember the little blue book that had the Bible stories in it. There was a whole collection of them. You remember it. My mom always read to me from that book every night as a little kid. That's just part of my memory and something I am thankful for. And it was something that was prompted by them being in the church where they were. Now, that makes me think about the Apostle Paul a little bit. There's going to be a little free-floating reminiscing going on here, and I want you to feel free to do the same thing in your own head today. The Apostle Paul, at the beginning of quite a few of his letters, as soon as he gets done with the typical from Paul to whoever, and I'm gracious and thankful to God for all of this, he then says, "And I thank God upon my every remembrance of you guys." The story I was just telling about my own mom reminds me of what actually Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy, where he says this. He says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy." Now, the context of that is Paul's actually in jail this time around. He was pulled away from Timothy, evidently, his protege, and Timothy was crying about the whole situation because it was bad. And Paul says, "I remember you, Timothy, and I long to see you again." But listen to the rest of his thanksgiving here. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it's in you as well. I thank God for his people in his church, the ones that I grew up under and the ones that I've served with and the ones that are here in this building today. I thank God that so many of you have this deep and abiding, sincere faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I thank God, and you ought to as well, and I hope that's what I'm prompting this morning. If you were raised by Christian parents, or maybe by Christian grandparents, or maybe an aunt or an uncle or whatever, that they instilled in you from very early on what you needed to know to fall in love with God. One of the things that I remember as a kid was every time those church doors were open, my family was there. Some of the times I didn't want to go there. I wanted to do something else. Mom and Dad didn't give me a choice. It's church time. Church is priority. And I'm looking at some heads nodding around here. That's the way you were raised as well. I want to encourage some of you younger parents. You need to adopt that. Because your kids need to see your deep and abiding faith. And they also need to be brought into it as well. And, you know, sometimes people, well, no, I don't want to force my kids to do something. I want to give them a chance to make up their mind. Question for you. Do you give them a choice as to whether or not they brush their teeth? Do you give them a choice as to whether or not they go to the doctor? We have parents that make us do things that we don't like, that later we figure out we needed to do those things. And we thank God for those parents. We have the same situation in our churches, because I know some of you didn't have Christian parents. I recognize that. I realize that. The first people you ran into may have been your Sunday school teachers, or a junior church teacher, or a VBS teacher, youth minister, something like that. Well, certainly, we can thank God for people like that too that are in his church. I remember my home congregation had a ton of people whose lives were clearly caught up in a love for Jesus Christ. I still remember my elementary age Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Beller. And I remember the story she told me. And I remember my junior high teacher, Mr. Lindsay. Now, he was kind of crazy in some of the things that he told us. He was trying to tell us about the crossing of the Red Sea, and it involved all sorts of landing craft and zeppelins and things like that. And then at the beginning of the lesson, he goes, well, I'm telling you all those things because I don't think you'd believe me if I told you how it really happened. Then, of course, he did. He engaged us to try to get us a taste for the Bible. I remember our youth minister, Rodney Brown. Youth ministers were kind of a brand new thing back at that time. And he did some wild things in order to get our attention. But it always brought us back to the Bible. Whether we were playing volleyball until it was too dark to see the ball and it hit you in your head. And then we had our Bible study afterwards. I thank God for his people in his church. Because those people, the ones that you're thinking about right now, because I know you have to be thinking about some of them. We need to thank God for those people that lived out in front of us a love for Jesus Christ. And imparted to us our own faith. I remember my preachers. I did not always remember their sermons. I hate to admit that. But I remember the preacher that dunked me under the water when I was 9 years old. And how he was clearly devoted to the scripture. I remember another preacher that called me and the other teenagers out on the back row because we were misbehaving during his sermon. Not only did we get in trouble in church, we got in trouble when we got home too. But I appreciate that he understood we needed to be paying attention to God's word, because God's word is more important than anything we could be goofing about in that back row. We need to thank God for his people who are inside of his church. There's another passage that goes along with this. It's in Romans chapter 1 this time. Paul didn't even know the majority of the people that he's writing this letter to. He knows some of them because they're listed at the end of the book. But he says this, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you." I thank God for his people and his church that I've not even met yet. There's some of you that have been on missions trips. You've gone to other countries. And you've met your brothers and sisters in Christ for the first, and sometimes it'll be for the only time that you'll ever be in their presence in this world. And side by side with them, you did work. A lot of times it's a hands-on project, like building a house, building a hospital wing, handing out food, helping teach the kids. But other times it might actually be trying to add a little bit of energy to the start of a new congregation. Every time we do that, every time we're involved in that, we should be thanking God for his people in his church all over the world. Right now, today, earlier today, later today, in all the time zones of the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ will be meeting together. And they will be talking about many of the exact same things we talked about. How Jesus died for our sins. He rose again for our justification. How he wants us to shine as an example for him in this world. How we need to love others more than we love ourselves. And that we should even love our enemies because God loves them. They'll be doing it in other languages. Some of them will be doing it in the dark of night. Some of them will be doing it in a secret location. Others will be doing it in a park. It doesn't matter any of that because it's the people that God's using. And that's the ones I'm thankful for, and you and I both should be thankful for. I want you to take a little moment in your mind. Who was it that brought you to Jesus Christ? How many of you have to have more than one name? Right? Are you thankful for them? That's God's people in God's church. Paul talked about this to the Corinthians when they were wanting to grumble and complain and bicker with one another. And he reminded them, you know what? One person plants. Another person waters. But it's God that gives the harvest. God that gives the increase. See, the Holy Spirit uses all of us in a variety of different ways to influence people to believe and come to faith. We know that in our own experience. And we know often it's not the people that even dunked us in the water that end up bringing us to maturity in Jesus Christ. It certainly wasn't in my case. The preacher that dunked me in the water was not my preacher for much longer after that. I had a couple of more preachers before I got out of high school and went off to college. Went off to the Air Force first and then off to the college. I thank God for all his people in his church doing all of those things. And I thank God for all of you. For whatever planting you're doing, whatever watering you're doing, whatever help You're providing in order to make the Holy Spirit's work come to fruition. You know, it wasn't too long ago we were talking about the different gifts in the church. This idea of the church is made up of a lot of different components. Some of us are preachers. Some of us yak a lot, right? That's our thing, study the Bible. But here's the deal. If that's all you ever had in the church, nothing would really get done. There are people here that you have never been able to immerse somebody into Christ. I know that. But you have taken care of the babies that showed the love to the people that eventually were immersed. We had a lady that was known as the cookie lady in another church. I don't know if she'd ever immersed anybody into Christ, but I know that a lot of people that had been immersed into Christ had been blessed by the baking of her cookies and the eating thereof. We need everybody in the church doing something to help the Holy Spirit bring the increase of the church. And I thank God for His people in His church doing His work. Because that's the way that the church grows. I want to take you to another passage, book of Philippians this time. Philippians is the happy book of Paul. If you don't know, Paul's letters are often exasperated. Why am I have to telling you this again, right? It's the teacher, it's the dad, frustrated with the way the kids are acting. And that's okay. Sometimes that's the way that he had to be. Book of Philippians, though. Philippians is the letter where he is thanking God for the people he's writing to big time because they have been such a blessing to him. And in the section, starting in verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. The Philippians only had Paul in their presence for three, just shy of 4 weeks. Did you know that? That's all the time he spent there preaching. But they were so changed by the preaching of the gospel, that everywhere Paul went thereafter, the news of the Philippian turnaround had already gotten there. It was such a big difference in their lives. And when he left, going to other places, they sent money after him. They took up the collections and chased him down, you know, with messengers. Here, Paul, you need this money. You'll need this in order to keep preaching that gospel that you preached us. And that's what Paul is talking about when he's writing this letter. So, I thank God every time I think about how you guys have been the blessing to me by participating in the gospel. They were doing it through money, yes. But they were also doing it through encouragement. See, one of the things that we gather together for, this is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. One of the reasons we gather on a regular basis is so that we can encourage one another to love and good deeds, to do the right things, to push through whenever we have the tough times, right? Do you think Paul ever had tough times? Yeah. And the Philippians, time and again, reached out to him. We don't have any record of their letters to him, only the record of his letter back to them. But they reached out to him time and time again, saying, Paul, we're praying for you. We're encouraging you. Here's a little extra in order to help you preach to those people just like you preached to us. I thank God for his people in his church that are the encouragers. We got plenty of grumblers. We don't need any more of those. Okay? Do a few of those. We need the encouragers that buoy up the spirit of the congregation. And I know for a fact that there are some of you sitting here today that are those type of people. Because when I get in touch with certain people, they tell me, oh, so-and-so gave me a call, or so-and-so sent me this card, or so-and-so popped by with a little something, and it made me happy, or it made me feel loved, or it made me know that the church had not forgotten about me. Whatever it was that they phrased. Your kindness, your faith in Jesus Christ became real and was spreading ahead of the places that I was going. And you know what? Not only did that encourage them, it encouraged me. I thank God for his people in his church. I thank God for all of you. And I pray for you, just like Paul does, that you will do whatever it is that God has given you to do to make a mark on the people in your sphere of influence. Whatever it is that you are good at, it might be praying for other people. It might be sending those cards. It might be making something and taking it by. It might be giving the old phone call or the text or the Facebook message. It might be sharing a little extra with someone, giving a ride. There's a variety of ways that you could show that love. And not just simply inside the church, but outside the church. I have seen people come to faith in Jesus Christ because the people already in Jesus Christ showed love to them, shared something with them in the name of Jesus, quietly. Not for the show of it, just for the kindness of it. And it moved those folks to find out more. Why are you different than the other people I run into? And I thank my God for those people in his church that are like that. And I thank God for you. I want you to look at the last little bit of the thanksgiving there in Philippians. Paul says in verse 6 of that verse of chapter 1, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Every seed that has been planted and blossomed into a new believer, it's just another plant that is ready to bear fruit for the Lord and make a difference. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you are still alive, if you are still breathing, doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are, if you are still able to talk and motivate and influence, God's not done with you yet. God is able to work through every last one of us to still make an impact on somebody else. We may not understand how that works. The Holy Spirit moves in mysterious ways. But the thing is, like Paul says, I know as long as you are still in this world and you are still his person, God's person, in his church, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are available to make a difference in somebody else's life. And one of these days, I am confident, someone will be able to say of you, I thank God for his person in his church that helped me find salvation in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Apostle Paul's reminder to us all that every last person in your church is available for your use through the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference in other people's lives. Father, I thank you for the myriad of people that made a difference in my life over the years. And I thank you for the people in this congregation here that impact on my life. And I pray your blessing on all of these folks in all the things they do. Give them the energy to keep that up. Give them the confidence to be able to even add a little bit more to it. Father, I pray that you would help some of those that are a little hesitant to find their place in your kingdom, knowing that you can take even the smallest thing and make the biggest difference with it, because you know exactly how it should be placed, how it should be used. Father, I thank you for your people in your church that also are part of this world. As we know your son said, they are in this world, but they're not of it. He didn't pray for us to be taken out of this world, but only that we would be witnesses inside of this world. So, Father, help us to live up to that prayer request from Jesus. In the places where we work, in the places where we live, or study, or hang out, or recreate, or whatever it is we do, help us to show Jesus Christ to those folks through the things we do, through the things that we say. And let us be ready, willing, and able to help them find our Savior and their Savior. Father, may the people who come to Christ be thankful for us who are in the church right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.